as the 0-2. And Hosey will wave at this pitch in the dirt. DeGrom, a second strikeout tonight. Six up, six down.
Hey, that's what we have to hang on to here on your home of the Rangers. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Jacob DeGrom, two innings, no hits, two strikeouts, 24 pitches, 16 of them for strikes, hitting 99 on the gun, and two for two in the rehab starts as they'll play a doubleheader today with Jack Leiter back out on the mound to try to stay up here longer than last time. Let's talk about all of it with our buddy Brett Boone, Odyssey Baseball Insider and former major leaguer on the D&M Leasing Hotline and on Zoom every other Wednesday here on Sean and RJ. What's up, man? How are you?
How you doing? You guys hear me all right? My earphones aren't working, but I think we got you.
Yeah, we hear you. I'm surprised you still have a voice. Were you on every single radio and television station in Seattle after your manager got run?
I'll tell you, that was interesting. And I think that's what you do sometimes. I think the fans kind of spoke. They went to the trading deadline in Seattle. They did what they thought they had to do. I think with the available players out there, I think Seattle did a pretty good job. But it wasn't enough. And they weren't getting it done. All of a sudden they find themselves five games out. And I think the owner kind of made a decision, kind of a second trade deadline. You know, and it's like, all right, I got to do something and not just mail it in and another year in Seattle not making the playoffs. So I think he made a pretty drastic move and just fired his manager with 5 weeks to go, let Dan Wilson take over. I think Dan's a perfect guy in a perfect spot in this situation in Seattle. And I think they've won 3 out of 5 under Dan, but it's going to be a big lift for Seattle to overtake Houston in this division, I think.
Brett, we've always talked about this and had this question, like, does it really matter how teams let go of people, like, and how the person finds out? Like, he didn't find out about this until, you know, he's found out about this through an alert on his phone, not from the GM, not from the owner. Does that resonate with players and coaches? Like, do they pay attention to how teams treat players on the way out or coaches?
Coaches, not so much. When you're a player, nobody cares. But I think it's a little bit of a strange situation. I don't have all the details of that. You know, we hear stuff like that. I'm sure Scotty wasn't, you know, it wasn't the best news he's heard this year. That being said, I think DePoto and Service have a longstanding relationship. And that seems kind of odd to me that not only a working colleague, but a buddy of yours, if it went down that way, you heard it that way. I was hearing it the night before. And I don't know. I think the writing was on the wall at that point, just because of the drastic, fall they've had this year. I mean, July 19th, they were 10 games up in that division. Yeah. And I was on Seattle talk shows going, you know, for the first time in a long time, I think that with that pitching staff in place, I think the Seattle Mariners can kind of handily win that division. Well, fast forward 2 months, they're sitting there five and a half games out in second place. So I don't know. I didn't really get in the weeds on how he was let go, what the communication was. Nobody really knows except for DePoto and Service. But yeah, the initial reports were that's how we heard it. So yeah, I don't think that's the best way to go about it. Scotty's been there 9 years, whether he's in great standing right now or not, he's given 9 years to that organization.
Brett Boone, D&M Leasing Hotline here on the home of the Rangers. So we have a little front office uneasiness around here. Number one, Chris Young does not have his extension. And number two, we have a worry that the front office and ownership is not going to spend because of TV money. Were you ever in a certain situation where you all knew in the clubhouse, like, we're not going to be big spenders, it's not going to happen? And how much hope does that kind of like suck out of you in the off season or during a deadline?
Well, I think so. And that never ended up good. The years where I knew, hey, next year we're going to rebuild, we're going to get younger, we're going to take some salary off the books. It never ended well. It always is exactly that. A rebuild, taking salary off the books usually ends up in, and that usually ends up being third or fourth place in the division. So it never ends well. Maybe, you know, if done correctly in the long term, might be a positive thing. But it's all these days, it's all how you run your organization. I think Chris Young is phenomenal. And I think Bruce Bochy, how much longer is Bruce Bochy going to manage? I don't know. I know right now that 1-2 punch is pretty good as far as a working relationship, just because of the respect that goes both ways with the history of those two. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, you're always hearing negative things. Texas, a year ago, you're coming off a World Series championship. I don't think if the beginning of the season or even the middle of the season, we would have predicted the Rangers to win the World Series. I don't know how many people would have bought that. Fact is, they did it. And coming off now kind of a subpar year and falling well below expectations, I think, in Texas, you're always going to hear some negative chatter here and there. So they got the World Series a year ago. Hasn't gone their way this year. It's been beat up, a lot of injuries, you know. So I think right now players are looking for something positive, looking to spoil some people's postseason chances. You talked about DeGrom at the top of the show coming back. That's got to be a positive sign, especially if he can keep going, be healthy, and then have him next year to open the 25 season as a healthy DeGrom. It definitely changes the look and the depth of a rotation when you have a DeGrom at the top.
Brett, Chris Young is known for his intensity. Did you have a really, really intense general manager? And what was your perfect amount of times that you wanted to hear or see the general manager throughout like a month's period?
That is a great question, because I had some pretty hands-on general managers. I had a Pat Gillick in Seattle, probably the most astute out of all of them. Didn't see him very often down in stretch runs when we were fighting for a playoff spot. Pat might join us on a trip, but he's very rarely in the clubhouse. You kind of, as a GM, you don't want to be seen. You do your work upstairs, you come into the clubhouse, you go to the manager's office, you do your business, but there's very little interaction with the players. I found the general managers that I think did really good jobs. I had Jim Bowden in Cincinnati at the time. I think he was the youngest general manager in baseball. I thought he was great. He was more of a player's guy. He wanted to come in and give you a high five. But I found that harmless. He'd give you the high five. He'd go talk to the manager, do their business for the day, and then he was out of there. But the managers, the general managers that lurk and kind of hang around a little too much, I don't think it's their spot, because you never know what's going on with players. Some players are hot. Some players are having bad years. The last thing when you're having a tough year or a tough stretch is to have that general manager in the clubhouse kind of looking at you like, hey, what's going on here? I don't think it's their place. I think front office is just that, front office. Uniform personnel is just that, uniform personnel.
Brett Boone joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Brett, Jack Leiter is going to start tonight for the Rangers against the White Sox. And Leiter was a guy who this season, he's gone through these ups and downs where he'll pitch really well for a stretch in the minors. Then he comes up to the majors and looks like he gets his confidence rocked. Is there some, how much are they potentially gaining versus what they might be jeopardizing in another confidence shot by just saying, hey, let's let him finish out the season in the minors, just build on this, versus let's bring him up and see if he can build in a more low pressure situation?
I think they're at a point now where it's, hey, show me, you're gonna sink or you're gonna swim. You know, this is the big leagues it's great. You got to coddle a little bit. You got to coddle the guys that need to be coddled. You got to throw the guys in the fire that you think can handle the fire. And at a certain point, from an organizational standpoint, you're going to go, hey, this isn't little league. This isn't travel ball. You know, there's only so much kit gloves treatment I can give you. And when push comes to shove, it's you got to sink or swim. You got to show that you can get out there and compete with the big boys and have the mentality to get up and to fight another day. So I think it's good. At some point, you've got to quit with the, oh, we're the hands-off approach and let's just make sure everybody's comfy. You got to get in here because the big leagues ain't comfy. It's tough.
Brett Boone joining us here, 105 Through the Fan. All right, there's two guys that are having just crazy seasons. As a hitter, which one would you rather have? Would you rather be the first 50-50 guy, 50 stolen base, 50 home runs like Otani's about to do? Or would you rather do what Judge is doing and hit like 330 and 60-plus home runs, maybe win a triple crown?
Well, Choppy, a triple. You know I wasn't a big base stealer, so who do you think I would?
What do you think is the more special one? Is it clearly the 330 and 60 home runs?
You know, in my generation, what you were judged by is average home runs, RBIs. Judges are definitely doing that. But the years that I did steal double digits. I found a new appreciation for stolen bases. I think in my younger years, I said, who cares about 20-20-20? It's not a big deal. Yeah, I'm impressed with the 20 homers, but anybody can steal 20 bases. Once you start stealing bases, you get a new appreciation for how tough it is to have that combination of power and speed. Stealing bases takes a lot out of you. Now, I know Otani's in a DH role, so he has plenty of time to rest, but you're out there stealing that many bases, even in today's game with the rules change, where it's a little bit easier to steal bases than it was in past years. I have a real respect for the guys that combine that power and speed. That being said, Otani, to me, second best player in the world right now, and that's only because he's not on the mound. Next year, this might flip-flop, but Aaron Judge is, I think, the best and most productive, definitely most impactful offensive player we've seen in the game since Barry Bonds. Woo! And that's – I don't say that lightly. Barry's the greatest I've ever seen. The second place is not even close. It's not even close. And I think Aaron Judge is doing things, especially in this modern game. He's driving in 122 runs. The closest guy to him is Ramirez with 104. In a day and an age where we don't drive in runs like in past years – he's hitting 333 in a day and age where people don't hit 333. And he's combining that, leading the league with 51 homers. I think he's got over 100 walks. It's definitely one of the great years of this generation and for the last couple generations. I think Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball. And I think second right now offensively, like I talked about Barry, second wasn't close. I think second right now isn't close. I mean, you can talk about an Otani, a Soto, a Bobby Witt Jr., but I think right now, Aaron Judge is the face of baseball. He's the best player.
What were your numbers against Maddox?
Not good.
Bobby, what are they?
Do you have any idea what they could possibly be?
I'd say high ones.
222, 8 for 36.
All right, I'll give you a good story about Maddox. Well, the big show just came out the other day. I had Leo Mazzoni on the podcast to talk about those years in Maddox. So I call Maddox mid-show, and I'm talking to him. And he still wants to talk about me against him as a hitter. I played with him 1 year, and every pregame meeting, before you go into a series, you have the pitchers meeting, the hitters meeting. Greg was my locker mate, and he'd hand me a piece of paper with stats on it. And it was me against him. And he'd go, Booney, aren't you glad you're on my team? And that's back when it was 150. I got him later when he was with the Padres. I got a couple knocks. And he kind of reminded me, like, yeah, Booney, finally you get me when I'm old and washed up. And I said, it's better not getting you at all. The greatest pitcher I've ever faced. And I faced a lot of great ones. But start if you take the body of work and the consistency, he was just man, he was like a cyborg. He was like a robot. His bad day was inches bad, where everybody else, when they have a rough day once in a while, you know, they're missing by 2 feet. Maddox was missing by inches. Unbelievable.
Brett, LeBron James is playing with his son, Bronny James, this season. And the topic came up that LeBron is not going to allow him to call him dad. He's got to call him 2-3 or Bron or something like that.
Or GOAT.
GOAT, he said. So your brother played for your dad under the Reds. And I'm sure you got a chance to, you know, play for your dad a couple times growing up or whatever. What would you guys call him? Would you call him Bob on the field, or would you call him Skip? Well, how would that go?
Absolutely not. Dad.
Dad, even on the field?
What are you going to do, fake it and call him Robert? No. I think we're putting too much into it. Oh, son, you can't call me this. You've got to call me 2-3. I don't know. I think that's very strange to have a set of rules, father-son, going into the game, going into the season.
But big league teammates wouldn't make fun of you if you're like dad in a big league clubhouse?
Well, if you belong in a big league clubhouse, no. I think.
Well done.
You know, it's going to be uncomfortable enough. In that whole situation right there, I think LeBron has done the biggest disservice to a child you could possibly do. I don't think I've seen it. I've been in that situation. Now, my father wasn't the GOAT. My dad was a great player. But I know what it's like following a father at the highest level. And I think the position that they put Bronny in, I think is absolutely the worst thing you can possibly do to a kid. I feel bad for him.
Yep.
you talk about a resentment and you talk about the other players in the league giving you a hard time. Well, he's about to see what it's like right now. And you got to put, he's a man too. It's not like he's a child. He had the decision, but the fact that these guys have put him in this position when he's clearly not ready for it, I think it's a big disservice, and I hope he makes it through all right.
Well said. Thank you so much, man. That was fantastic. We'll talk to you next time. The great
guys.
Brett Boone on the D&M Leasing Hotline, Odyssey Baseball Insider, and check out the Brett Boone podcast for all the biggest names in the sport. He got the one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb yesterday at the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com is next.
Let's get you over to K-Post Roofing and Waterproofing, the official roofing and waterproofing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. That is a big, beautiful K-Post roof on AT&T Stadium and the home of the World Champs and in the American Airlines Center. Got one on my house. Did it back in May. They put the new roof on after I had all the hail damage, and you know you had hail damage. You got to get that roof inspected from K-Post Roofing and Waterproofing. If you have not had that roof inspected after, especially after the Memorial Day hailstorm, we have a baseball-size hail and 80-mile-an-hour winds. Get it looked at. It's a free roof evaluation. Also, you're beaten down by high energy costs, and I know you are, man. I just got my July or August bill. I mean, it was crazy high. Well, this is a great time to go about getting Tesla solar panels. Those Tesla solar roofs from K-Post. They bring down your energy costs. You become energy independent. And like the best part is that it's also really good for the environment. That's key. You don't have to worry about blackouts, right? If you get those rolling blackouts, you don't have to worry about that. If you've got a Tesla solar roof, kpostcompany.com, the letter kpostcompany.com, or 972-945-9975. Tell them RJ Choppy for the fan sent you.
Crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece is coming up at 9:40 during the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ. CeeDee Lamb caught up with Nick Eatman one-on-one, but he also talked with the rest of the media, and he said no, there was no doubt that this deal was going to get done. Which one do you think is better, Pepe? What the process was like, or any doubts that it would happen?
The process, three.
Let's go with the opposite one then. No, the process.
I can't really put it into words, but I tell them I'm grateful to be here every moment of the day. Yeah, like this whole process was very crazy for me, as we all know. Very bittersweet. Enjoyed it all, obviously. Had plenty of times to, revamp myself physically, become more prepared for the season. Granted, I wish I would have had a camp, but it's okay, though. It'll work out in the back end. But very excited for the moment. Cherish every bit of it. Shout out my agent. Grateful for the whole opportunity. Going back and forth, the phone calls with him. Obviously, thanking God every morning. Get the chance to wake up and do what I do. But, yeah, man, it was surreal. Loved it. Here we are.
And Nick Eatman caught up with him one-on-one for DallasCowboys.com. Nick joins us now. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Smiles from ear to ear throughout the hallways yesterday, Nick.
Yeah, good mood. Good mood, CD, for sure. It wasn't the San Francisco game CD from last year. It was excited. And he should be. And he looks bigger, too. Like he said, he gained 15 pounds. And, I mean, you could tell immediately when he walked in. I mean, he definitely looks that way. And, you have to be careful when you say he gained 15 pounds on his holdout. Like I'm sure there's been players in the past that have done that, but not a good 15.
Was it 15 pounds of muscle or 15 pounds of Luca?
No. Don't put that in there. No, he looks like he said, like muscle mass, 15 pounds of muscle mass. So it was very noticeable, and he's wearing a tank top that kind of shows that too. Like, hey, look at me. It was good to talk to him, and I liked his interview. Obviously, I got a chance to talk to him for a couple of minutes, but what he said to the entire media after practice was really good. A lot of good answers there. And the bittersweet part, you could really feel that for him, that it was hard to be away from his team. He told me there was multiple times where he would just call his agent and said, hey, I gotta go. I gotta get back with my team. But they stuck to their guns and it worked out, and it was very clear what the trigger point was, at $34 million per season. Like there's a lot of other numbers But it sounds like from what he said, his agent said to him, hey, they just want to do $34 million. He's like, where do I sign? So that was, it seemed like the final straw in how to get this negotiation.
Can you justify from the Joneses' standpoint why this took so long? And do you think that they actually lost in waiting this long in the offseason?
What do you mean, Sean? They lost what?
Did they?
I may have not followed.
You know, people. Jerry kept saying, "I want to see leaves fall," and we keep. You know, the thinking in the media is you keep waiting; it's going to cost you more. Yeah. Did they actually cost themselves anything by this taking so long? Do you think?
Not yet. You know, you say that, and then you know, if somebody. There's two ways that can go. You know, if there was an injury or something like that, you could say, well, you know, maybe they shouldn't have done that. They should have waited so long. If Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, Flournoy, if those guys have an unbelievably great, you know, season, then it's like, well, see, look at all the extra reps they were getting in camp, you know, which you could have made the same case for T.J. Bass and Hoffman last year when Zach Martin was out. So there's two ways to look at it. I think as of right now, I don't think, you know, I think they both have a lot of admiration for each other. He thanks the Jones family several times. He understands the business part of it. And I think at the end of the day, everybody's happy as of right now.
Okay, Nick, so with CeeDee Lamb done now, I think a lot of the assumption is, all right, all focus on contract negotiations now can shift to Dak and you can throw all your resources into that or all your attention into that. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's the process the Cowboys are taking now is like, all right, let's focus on getting this done? Or do you think they're willing to say, hey, you know what, let's let the season play out a little bit. Let's get a little bit into this and see what happens.
I feel like it's more of the first part. I really do. I have a sense, again, it could be a stomach ache. I don't know. But I got the feeling that, you know, that maybe this is going to happen sooner than later. You know, maybe before the season begins.
Really?
I that's my sense. It could be gas, but that's what I'm feeling, you know, so who knows?
What'd you have for dinner?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever they were serving here at the Star, you know, it was right after. Yeah, so it wouldn't be too bad, you know, right after practice. But no, I have that feeling because, and this is where, you know, not to sound like Captain Obvious, but obviously every situation is different. Every contract is different. And with Dak, you know, he wasn't holding out and he was here. But I do get the sense that once the season begins, it might be a little less negotiation and more like, hey, you didn't get it done. Now I'm really on a contract year and I'm playing and I'm betting on myself. And I just have a hard time thinking that it's going to happen during the season. I think it's smart for both of them to get it done, and I just have a feeling that it will.
Nick Eatman, D&M Leasing Hotline, here on Sean and RJ, 105 through the Fan. Any update on Dalvin Cook?
I have not heard that. I think that it's a, you know, they wanted to see what this running back, you know, what he looks like, what kind of shape he's in. The sense that I heard was practice squad at best, but that could have changed by the meeting yesterday. And I mean practice squad as in right now, like this week practice squad. If they signed him, it would be that. I'm not saying that they're just trying to hope that he goes out there and can help the first team. No, I'm saying as of right now, it would be, hey, let's get a guy, maybe put him on the practice squad and we'll see. But I think they also want to take a good look at what's out there today and what was out there yesterday and see about putting claims in and all that. There's two or three players, and maybe one or two, on the roster right now that probably won't be later on. You know, when they claim, they're going to have to make a move. But I believe if my numbers are correct, they'll have one spot open for a little bit because CeeDee Lamb is not going to count on the roster until they decide to put him on there. There's an exempt list there. They can wait all the way to the Cleveland game for that. So they do have an extra spot they can play with if they need to.
Do you think it's clear that Zeke is better than Dalvin still?
No, I don't think it's clear. I think it's a close race. I mean, I'm looking at stats, looking at situations, you know, where they've been, the quarterbacks that they've played with, and you know, it's been pretty bad for both of them here, you know, quarterback wise, last couple of years, you know, with what Zeke had in New England and that whole situation. I don't think it's clear. I think it's very comparable for what they've done and what they've been asked to do. So maybe it's a two for one type of thing. I mean, I think he's better. He's been better than Royce Freeman, who's a guy they're trying to get on the practice squad. But I think with the Zeke one, I think it's pretty close.
Nick, anything that stood out in particular from the roster cut down? Did you look at it, and was anybody surprised you in terms of making the roster or not making the roster?
I'm looking at it right now. Not really. Nothing surprised me that much. I thought Buddy Johnson would be the linebacker that they would pick there out of Nick Vigil and Willie Harvey. Willetzko, personally, I think Josh Ball's better than Willetzko, and I think he gives you more position flex. But that was the one I was a little surprised that they kept Willetzko, and maybe he's one that, you know, that they're looking for other options too, if there's a better swing tackle or a better tackle that they bring in. But not really. I knew it was going to be interesting at tight end. And Brevin Spanford, there was one off day at training camp where the staff doesn't eat with the players except for on off days, and they put you in one dining hall. And I remember just going to grab something to eat and standing behind him, and I'm like, who is this dude? He's on the team. I don't know. I can't see his face, but he's on the team. Whoever this is going to make the team. And they're like, yeah, that's the tight end. I'm like, all right, well, I don't know if he's playing well at all, but you're not cutting this guy. So I remember just laughing and kind of saying that. And he hasn't done a lot of great stuff, but they were so excited about getting him. And he's the only undrafted free agent. If I did my homework right, he's the only undrafted free agent to make this team this year, which is kind of surprising. They usually get two or three. Last year was Bass and Lipke. This year, I think it's just Spanford for now.
You've mentioned the cafeteria twice. What's the specialty over there? You know, when you're going to lunch at school and you're like, oh, today is what day? What's the best thing?
Well, you have options. You can definitely do a salad, so I swim move that. And then I get to the, where there's a grill, where there's all, you can eat healthy as you want to be. For sure, there's always some kind of chicken, pasta, good stuff. Then there's an actual grill where you can get, fried. You can get chicken tenders, hamburger. You can eat like a 6-year-old if you want to, french fries and tots. So, they got options.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com with the lay of the land, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco.
All right, Nick. Tyus Bowser was the other workout we heard about yesterday. Any update on what they were looking at there? Is that a similar thing where they're just trying to see where he's at in recovery after his injuries?
Yes, and I was actually wondering if they had the same agent. I don't think they do, him and Cook. I don't think they do, but this is just kicking the tires. It's sometimes a favor for the agent. And sometimes it's just checking to see down the road, you have the time, let's bring a guy in right now. It's not like you need him right now, but in a month and 3 weeks, we need a running back. Well, how did Cook look, or how did Bowser look if we needed a pass rusher? I think that's what it is more than anything. I think they're pretty set with what they have right now, but just like I said, kicking the tires on things.
Fantastic stuff. We appreciate it, Nick. Right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Let's crosstalk. What adjustments do we need to see from Jack Leiter? And did anyone else watch the Michigan documentary? Crosstalk with KMC is next. We have breaking news on 105.3 The Fan, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network tweets, 4-time Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook is signing with the Cowboys.
Oh, baby!
Cook was waiting for the right opportunity and always felt it was Dallas. A marquee addition, Tom Pelissero says in big day.
Best running back on the team right now.
That is true.
Was the right opportunity? Somebody call him?
Yeah.
Is this right to practice squad?
So, yeah, I just sent a text about this. The thought was it was the last 24 hours, I think everybody was kind of hearing the same thing, which is it would be practice squad. That's what they were looking at him for right now. Similar to when they signed Jason Peters a couple years ago and put him on the practice squad initially. But these reports here are not specifying practice squad. Now, it's coming from an agency. An agency may not be wanting to highlight necessarily that it's the practice squad.
Fair point.
And they may just say he signed with the Cowboys, but I've got some texts out to figure it out. But.
And in true choppy fashion, Mr. Anti and old running back is a big fan of this signing, Kevin Hegland. I turn it over to you to hopefully fight for the next 10 minutes with him.
Do you think we're going to have the most badass 2017 Pro Bowl
practice squad?
Practice squad.
Yeah. This is the thing. Okay, I dismiss. I don't like the running back idea of any running back. But if you're gonna get one,
do you think a running back should not exist? Like we shouldn't run the ball anymore.
They should absolutely exist at the $500,000 a year level.
Okay,
whatever the league was. That.
Hey, how mad are you about Micah not being a defensive end 100% of the time?
I don't care where they put him. I just want him rushing the passer. So, like, if he's rushing from, like, the A-gap, whatever, right?
But you know there are going to be plenty of off-the-ball opportunities where he's not going to rush, right?
I know.
Choppy doesn't believe in off-speed pitches. He wants fastball every time.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm not impressed when you strike somebody out with a curveball, okay? High heat, baby.
That's why he hates Maddox.
All right? Hold on. Let him hang.
What? So you only appreciate a strikeout if you overpower the batter and not trick them?
I'll tell you this. You don't see a pitcher break a changeup off and then do the Conor McGregor walk off the mound, okay? You see that only when they throw a fastball. Mm-hmm.
So what is
right,
this,
Mike? You know it.
What does practice squad mean for the likelihood of playing on opening day?
Probably not first week, I wouldn't think. But, I mean, you're putting him on the practice squad to ramp him up. So he will play in a game for the Cowboys, I would guess, sometime in the first month. And then
you get three elevations?
Yeah, but I don't even know that it would have to be that. I think he'd probably get signed to the active roster pretty quick.
You don't think they'd bounce him up and down?
I don't necessarily think they would want to. I think they'll just kind of hold him down and then get him ready and then sign him when he's ready to go.
Mikey, who's getting cut because of this move?
Well, wouldn't Deuce be the guy that would have to eventually be the... You're not going to carry four running backs on your active team, are you? With, I guess, a fifth, if you consider the fullback, the fifth running back.
Yeah, I think that you've got, they're going to be, I didn't think, we talked about this with Archer yesterday a little bit. Like, the idea of signing Cook, I don't think it's got anything to do with Deuce. I think Deuce is here because he's got a skill set that they don't think other people have. And so, Jerry really wants to get that active on game days. He talked about it on Saturday. So, I think Cook is more about insurance or trying to strengthen the overall group. Immediately, he's on practice squad, so it's not an issue right now, but immediately, Adogo will go on IR. That'll free up a spot later today. But then as things go along, maybe it's Tyrus Wheat. They cut him, the fifth defensive end they kept. Maybe it's, you know, one of these defensive backs, or they let a linebacker go, or one of these offensive linemen will let's go, but I think they'd find somewhere else to pick off.
So Choppy is happy. Me, Kevin, and Bobby are not the biggest fans. Corey, where did you stand on Dalvin Cook?
He is the best running back in your room, so that's nice. I mean, he's the closest.
It's sad.
The one that's had really 1,000 yards the most recent, you know? I mean, 22 was his. He had 1,173 yards, so. But you're scraping the bottom of the barrel anyway.
It's
you know, a guy can do it. He's done it before. This is a Jerry Jones philosophy since. I mean, I know when I was there with Parcells, Columbo came over. That was the first time I ever heard when Bill Parcells goes, look, he was a first-round pick. If he's done it before, he can do it again. There's a reason he didn't excel in Chicago. Why can't he excel here? So Jerry's probably still looking at it going, yeah, that's a name I recognize. Let's throw that guy out there.
So is it the I'm not as good as I once was?
But I can be one time.
Yeah, I'm as good once as I ever was.
Toby Keith.
Yeah, pretty much is how it goes. I mean, the dude... Do you expect him to play 17 games? Never.
16.
Not even 16. Oh. Not even
15.
If he plays 10, I'll be pretty excited about it.
What about 11?
Okay.
What about y'all want to go through every number?
Dude, now we're doing.
Corey, what do you think he could do 13?
I don't, but if we get there.
What if he got to 14 games?
What's coming up on the show, Corey?
Well, it's 10 games and a 5-week break, then they get in the playoffs.
At 10:20, Emmy Award winner, host of the alternate Routes podcast.
Or do you say Roots?
And now DraftKings Network NFL analyst Trey Wingo joins us at 10:20. And then Bruce Bochy at 12:20 today as they prepare for the doubleheader that did not get scheduled early enough for us to get off early.
You got a Baylor? He went to Baylor, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Why don't we make the Toby Keith decision with everyone in the room?
All right, let's do this here, Peyton.
He died.
So he did die. You're right.
He's with mom.
Oh my God!
Jeez, Bobby.
Bobby. She was a big Toby Keith fan.
What a skank she is!
oh my God, dude! Did you just make a joke about Bobby's dead mom tramping around in heaven?
He said he's with her. With him.
Guys, let us know on the fan text everywhere else how you feel about Sean's joke.
I do have one question regarding,
especially you, Twitch. You guys are big fans of me today.
Regarding Dalvin Cook, because right now everything says former Jet and Viking. Once he's done with the Cowboys, it's going to be former Cowboy Dalvin Cook, right? Like that's how it will
live. He's got a broadcasting career, at least 3 years of broadcasting career.
He'll be on the two team on Fox in 3 weeks.
Cha-ching.
All right, so Toby Keith, longtime Oklahoma Sooner fan, legend. Well, the Sooners have announced that they, between the third and fourth quarter, they are going to start to play a Toby Keith song this year for a little sing along with the crowd. Florida does this with Tom Petty. Alabama plays Dixieland Delight, which is a song about Tennessee, which is very, very ironic that they're playing that song. But they do either way. So a lot of schools are doing this. So now we got to pick the song. They have not announced the song. They have to do the one song. They cannot change it every week. We already know that they can't do Should Have Been a Cowboy.
Why?
Right? Because it's Oklahoma State.
But you just told us Alabama did Dixieland Delight.
Because
so
nobody really knows it's a song about Tennessee unless you actually look. Should Have Been a Cowboy is literally their rival. So it's going to get mocked.
Yeah.
So I got three options that I think it could be. I don't know that they're going to go with some of these because it's alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how colleges feel about alcohol.
Red Solo Cup.
Red Solo Cup. Is this option number one, Peyton Russell?
Red Solo Cup.
Like I can imagine.
I fill you up. Let's have
if they want to sing along.
Be an amazing sing along.
If they want to sing along. The
whole place is rocking.
What's wrong with you?
It's an awful song.
That's fine, but when you're drunk, you sing it out loud.
Terrible song.
All right, Bernie Taupin, we're not sitting here.
Yeah, American Idol
over
here.
Bobby, some of us drink and only have a couple drinks at a time and get a nice buzz, all right? We don't black out.
Yeah, I know. You and I are different, though. I get it.
I've heard of this song.
Okay, you have.
Thumbs up.
All right, very
I've
good.
Heard of this song.
That's a really good one.
I'm very concerned about if I've heard of all of these
okay.
songs.
Okay, now let's try the next. This is one of my favorite songs. Let's see if this one works.
How do you like me now?
I like that one.
Yeah.
Good one.
I don't know if this is a crowd sing. It's good. It's a great song.
You know
in the video
you
of
hate
this,
country music?
Him on like the 50-yard line, too,
that's
the
right,
high school football game.
Because the first line is stand there on the 50-yard line or something like that.
Yeah, how do you like me now?
You hate country music? Not hate. I just don't really listen to a lot of country music. It's not like George Strait.
Good.
This is a classic.
Classic one.
I don't know if I know this
one. All right, so that's option number two.
All right.
Now, this is another one about alcohol, so I don't know if they're going to go along with this one. Option number three, Peyton Russell.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men and beer for my horses.
This is out.
Out?
Out.
Okay.
Not happening.
So it's between Red Solo.
Have you ever seen a horse drink a beer?
I have not seen a horse drink a beer. Mike, thoughts?
Corey?
No, I want to, though.
You want to see a horse drink a beer?
Hell yeah, I would.
All right, so now we're down to two. Then we're down to Red Solo Cup. Or how do you like me now?
What about the write-in of courtesy of the red, white, and blue? Because you know Oklahoma fans want to be able to scream the line in unison, we'll put a boot in your ass.
Yes. Oh, I do know. Like I was going to ask if this is the boot in your ass.
Okay.
I think that's the one.
Is that sing-alongable?
You don't think a whole stadium screaming to a team on the sideline, we'll put a boot in your ass, would like get at them all jacked
up?
Yeah,
it would. It would. There's no doubt.
I love this bar. It's pretty good, but I guess that would kind of be out, too.
Are you working TV tonight?
No, thank God.
If you were, and they go, over to Mike Bassick for his three bally tips for Jack Leiter, the three biggest adjustments that you would point out, besides throw strikes.
Enjoy it. His heart rate is way too high. So
smoke pot.
AFib.
Enjoy it.
Where Bobby's Adderall.
Slower is sometimes better. He tries to overpower guys in big situations, and you're like, dude, you don't throw it 103.
Choppy pitching coach.
And so at times he's like, well, I'm going to, and it works in college, how hard he threw in the SEC. It just shows how low level. I hate saying this because I hope my son plays in the SEC. It'd be amazing. You're a one percenter if you get to play SEC baseball, but it's such a low level compared to the major leagues. So you could do that at Vanderbilt. You can't do that in the major leagues. You can't get in a situation where you're like, I'm just going to, I don't care about location, I'm just going to throw it by you. You can't. You know, now if you grow 7 inches and you're close to Randy Johnson size, then maybe you can. But like, so I would say, one, enjoy it. Two, slower is sometimes better. And then I would say, trust your defense. See if you can get weak contact early on in the count. Because if I throw one or two pitches and I get a ground ball out or a fly ball out, and I know it's the White Sox, they're very low level, but they're still major leaguers. If they only see you throw one or two pitches the first time through the lineup, they don't know about your breaking ball. Maybe they don't know about your fastball movement. But I would say those are my three keys. And my keys are my beneficiaries.
And Kevin, just for you, I watched the Connor Stallions Michigan documentary.
And you said it's better than the McNair, which, the way, didn't see that part two drop for all the people who were like, there's more coming out.
No, it's really good.
For what?
For the Steve McNair documentary. It's just the one-off.
Yeah, I don't think there's a part two. That's kind of
final. What was the one
they
came out with yesterday?
About the sign-stealing scandal surrounding Connor Stallions in Michigan.
Maybe your mom's with Steve, too.
Probably. No. Well, no, I don't know that Steve ended up in the same place.
Lord.
What were you guys dying laughing about over here before crosstalk?
The Trump digital card?
The Trump digital card.
I found this Trump ad for his digital card that I want to play on air, but people are going to take it the wrong way. It's hilarious.
There's video of me dancing and holding a Bitcoin. And the way he just like
is it AI?
It's real. Him. He's selling too, and it's the lines of like, some people call me the crypto king. I don't know if that's true, but a lot of people are saying it. That's the one that gets me every time.
Doesn't this prove that all NFTs are such ripoffs? They're just money makers for the person.
The PA is suing over this right now. The PA is suing DraftKings. The NFLPA is suing DraftKings over the NFT stuff. This just broke out today that they're saying that they were misled about NFTs.
Holding a Bitcoin.
Like, I remember when they came out with
the wonderful Bitcoin. It's the biggest Bitcoin you've ever seen.
That you could buy the Hail Mary from Staubach to Drew Pearson. And you're like, okay, so I was thinking, wait a second. So this means that YouTube, if YouTube wants to play this, they have to come to everybody who owns this now, because 10,000 of us bought this highlight. If NFL Network wants to play at any point the Hail Mary, they have to pay us money to play the Hail Mary. No, not at all. You can play it on YouTube 1,000 times. You have no ownership of it. NFL Network can play it 1,000,000 times. You have no ownership of it.
NFTs are like Packers ownership.
BKMC Masterpiece is coming your way next on 105.3 The Fan.